And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Yes, we're here and we're doing the podcast. Sorry about it being late. There's a lot of people who were very upset because it didn't post online whenever iTunes said it was up. And we're sorry about that. We were on an airplane stuck for about an hour and 45 minutes and it threw off our entire flights. And
yeah, so we apologize to those two people.
Yes, both of you. Anyway, this podcast is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know 5-Hour Energy shots now come in 10 delicious flavors? New improved taste, 10 great flavors. Have you tried 5-Hour Energy lately? I have.
Yeah, I could use some.
Got some right there.
Yeah, it was a long weekend.
It was a long week, actually. And then I've been fighting this dumb cold, you know. It's not even really a cold. I go to the doctor, they're like, eh, you don't have anything. Good luck.
Dr. Whiting, well, he gave you something, though, didn't
he? Yeah, he gave me a steroid shot and prescription to kind of dry it all out. But we had a flight to catch, and my, pharmacy didn't have my thing ready, so I had to leave before my thing was. I've missed it for 2 days.
What's the name of Elvis's doctor who just gave him whatever he wanted?
I want that guy.
That's what you got. Dr. Way is like your guy.
Yeah, but it's different. I mean, yeah. No, he kind of does do that.
I mean, this is what you told me. Man, I don't feel good. I said, oh, yeah, what you got? I don't know. I'm going to go see Dr. Way, have him give me a steroid shot. So what'd you do? You went in and got a steroid shot.
He's the best, dude. Well, he knows. He understands that, you know, we do a radio show and all that kind of stuff. And whenever you're congested and all that, your throat gets swollen. And whenever it gets swollen, what? You know, and nobody can understand you. Nobody would listen. So they give you the steroid shot. And I only do this, like, what, once a year? But when I do, it's gold because it totally brings the swelling down, the inflammation down, and I can talk.
Man, this tonight, I'm gonna get me. I think I'm gonna do 2 NyQuil, and call it a night.
Knock yourself out.
I love that feeling, man. I don't like do drugs, but I do like the feel of that. You take two. I take the pill forms. They're like big horse pills.
I didn't know they had NyQuil pills. Oh, wait, those big, like, gel cap looking things?
Yeah, they're enormous.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's like swallowing a kid's finger. And you do two. Here's what I do. I go in, I'm getting ready for bed. I take it, them, and then I brush my teeth, take a shower. By the time I'm out of the shower, dried off, and clothes on for bed, I can kind of start to feel it. And then you get in bed, real cold sheets, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get a fan blowing on you, or right, like, from your, not on my face, I'll get sick that way, but.
Yeah.
And then you just got to time it right, man. It's like a hobo catching a train. It's coming down. You can see the light. You can hear it coming. And you're just, you kind of start running just a little bit, a little jog. And you just kind of, you see it. Here comes, oh, here it is. There's the sleep train. You go, and you just grab hold and you just jump and get on. Now, if you miss it, it's bad.
Are you sure you haven't been taking the NyQuil already? This whole story is like, I'm hallucinating. But, I'm seeing it.
Yeah. I'm just a good storyteller.
Okay.
But if you miss it, man, that's the worst. Because then you get like the skin crawls and all that.
Well, that's what happened with me the first night because he gave me, I don't even know what it is. It's like this cough medicine. Normally, here's my little secret to not getting sick. I get the sniffles and whatnot throughout the year just from allergies and all that. But what I do is I go and I go straight to the pharmacy or wherever, and I get the prescription, or not the prescription, but you know, the like Allegra or Claritin or any of that stuff that you have to ask for, mm-hmm. and you have to sign for and show your ID,
mm-hmm.
Because they think you're making meth. I get that, And what happens is it kind of fights all the drainage and dripping and all that. If you don't do something like that and you just let the sniffles run their course, they for me at least, it drains into the back of my throat, right into whatever. I end up getting a sinus infection. Then you're sick. But whenever I get the sniffles and whatnot from allergies, I just take the Allegra for 2 days and I'm good. And it never gets to the point where it gets turns into a an infection. And I usually do that and I'm fine. This is the first time I've been sick, like even this bad, in 14 months.
You think that's better than NyQuil at night?
I don't know. You know, I mean, because I don't get wired on it. But like the stuff he told me, he said, hey, don't take your Allegra. So I didn't bring any with me on my trip. He said, you know, just take this prescription stuff, this cough medicine. He said, it's going to knock you out. You're going to love it or whatever. Or he said, it's going to knock out your cold. And he said, you're going to love it. It's great. He's like, I just started using it. It's amazing. So I didn't bring my stuff. And I had a couple little samples that he gave me until I got to the pharmacy. Well, those samples kept me awake all night long. I could not sleep. And that's the bad thing is that's what I'm going to go home to is that stuff. But that's fine. Whenever I'm home and it's a weekend, I can watch like, you know, I can binge watch Netflix or whatever and I'm fine. It's just whenever you only get an hour of sleep and you have to be at work at, you know, walk in the door at 5 a.m. You're going, oh, this is not cool. It's 4 o'clock. I'm up in 20 minutes.
Well, I guess I'll just NyQuil it. Hey, can we talk about Bruce Jenner, please?
What do you want to talk about? I mean, what is there to talk about? Somebody on Instagram said, this is my favorite picture of Bruce Jenner, and it was a picture of Michael Jackson. And, like, you remember when Michael had the long hair and the little, like, little lips and the little, I almost called it a Photoshop nose, whatever you want to call it, plastic surgery nose?
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of looks a little like Bruce now.
Yeah, I guess apparently he's going to come out transgendered and soon, pretty soon. He's going to do an interview, and then they're going to follow it up with a documentary. Yeah. So they've been documenting this whole transformation.
Oh, like cameras and everything?
Yo, yeah.
Do you think that's his escape plan from the Kardashian thing? Is he's like, hey, look, here's how I can guarantee to get a show.
Yeah. Anyway, they're saying that he had his Adam's apple done. Shave that thing down or whatever. Yeah.
You know, I don't have a big protruding Adam's apple. Do you?
Isn't that weird that, like, women don't have Adam's apples?
No.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, it's very weird.
That's like having, like, do we have extra bones or anything?
They have an extra rib, if I'm not mistaken.
That's like for real, right?
Yeah.
That's like biblical. That's real deal.
Yeah.
Women have an extra, because in the Bible it says God took his rib from Adam and made Eve, right?
Yes. And here it is. Do women have an extra rib? Okay, here we go. Oh, they're saying it's a fable. I don't know where this is. Something or other.
A fable?
Yeah, they're saying a fable.
Fable, that's an odd word to use.
Yeah, both men and women have 24 ribs.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Except for Adam, because God used him.
One in every few hundred people have an extra rib, and they're called cervical ribs because they arise from one of the spinal bones in the neck. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, so...
I don't know that I even have ribs, man. I haven't felt my ribs in so long.
I've bruised mine. I do want to mention something because we've got Valentine's Day and everything coming up. This is a cool, and I don't want you to think I'm trying to sell you on something because I'm not. This is Bubba. So Big D, you can either step away or whatever, but I want to make sure people are taking advantage of it. We have some really cool sponsors on the show that we talk about on a pretty regular basis. And like right now, we've got yournovel.com. And I've done this. I've ordered two of these throughout the years.
Dang, he's given me, yeah, given he us, gave us a free
code.
One.
He gave us a code for one the other day.
I forgot what the code was.
I had it here. Oh,
he's like, hey, you guys want a free book? And I was like,
I got it. I found it.
I don't know, man. I don't know that. I don't know if Kathy would dig that.
Does she read it all?
Yeah.
I mean, if she reads, she'll think it's cool.
That, but she didn't read that kind of stuff.
Well, Stacy, my wife, does. I mean, that's...
She read romance novels?
Well, she reads everything, dude. But like, I'll come in and there'll be like some book on the back of the toilet and it's like something Five Nights with a Highland Warrior. And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Dude, my mom...
Do I have to start dressing like that?
My mom used to have those stuff, that stuff. I didn't know what it was. And I remember picking it up, and I got to the part where it like says bosom and heaving. And
it did not say bosom.
Yeah, I forget. It was, and I was like, what? And it completely changed the way I thought of my mom. I was like, wait a second, what? But she would just like leave it out. Back, yeah, you know,
yeah.
In the old, back then, like it seemed like they were more available there because they were just sitting around the house. But I guess women are still reading them, but just online with their tablets or books or, you know, e-books or something.
Right. Your novel code, is that Big D? Is that it?
Yeah. To get the special?
Yeah, they'll do 10% off your checkout. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because you only have a couple days left till Valentine's Day. So go ahead and order that now. It's really cool. They do hardcover. I've never done the hardcover, the hardback book, but I think I'm going to do it with the freebie code.
Yeah, he said go all out and get the nice one and all that.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, do the one with the photo and all, because I've never done that. When I pay for it myself.
It's not funky, man. Like she gets that. And
okay,
you're like,
here's the thing. It's a book, all right? And you remember those... choose your own story kind of things. It's kind of like that. You put in your name, her name, nicknames, what you drive, where you work, you know, street you live on, name of your pets, whatever, all this stuff. And they totally customize the book with all that kind of stuff. I know like Disney used to do that. Like I used to have this Fox and the Hound book that said my name like three times in it. This isn't that way. This is way awesomer. And it's all kinds of weird stuff. Best friends, and Big D comes over to the house and says, "Hey, man!" Puts his foot up on the coffee table and knocks over my whatever drink that I love. And
what
it's
is that? You said I came over?
Yeah, it's fine. But I'm just saying,
am I in your story?
It's in the book. Yeah, you're one of them.
What?
We did a couples vacation.
Well, hold up.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a very cool book. Just wait, man. Just let me finish.
All right, you finish. I'm coming back to that.
Because if I finish, you may forget and move on.
Nope.
So, yeah, it's yournovel.com and put in the code Big D. No spaces, just B-I-G-D, Big D. And you can save 10%. It's really cool. They do hardback or the hardcover books. They do the paperback books. They do ebooks. I mean, whatever way, whatever flavor. Oh, got to mention the flavors too. They do it in wild or mild. In mild, you know, it's you give her a kiss. In the wild version, things happen. You know what I'm saying? And as a guy, of course, I'm going to do the wild version because I want her to think about that. Because when she's reading it and blah, 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 you know, it's in her head. She sees it. You know how you kind of envision things when you read it? I'm like, yeah, this is hooking me up later.
Why am I in your story again?
Well, not in that part. You're in a different part.
I shouldn't be in it at all. Because that just leads to things, man.
Yournovel.com, and it's 10% off at the checkout. And take advantage of it. Promo code Big D, B-I-G-D, no spaces. What's our other thing? We got Pro Flowers, too. That's they're always awesome. They've treated us so well throughout the years. And, you know, we've used proflowers.com to send flowers for just about everything. Bereavement flowers, wedding flowers, birth flowers, of course, stuff for our wives. So you definitely want to take care of Pro Flowers as well. Do we have a code for them? Why not?
That's Big D, too. Why is it always mine? Why don't
you use
Bubba?
I don't know. You can't use
Big D is the thing. All right. Can we please play the guy from the airplane?
Yeah.
Plug it in.
Okay. Give a little backstory.
We are on a flight. We're coming from D.C. We're connection from D.C. And so the guy gets on, you know, you have flight attendants, you know, it's a dude. And he starts talking as we're all sitting there before the plane takes off. And then I finally realize I don't have a foggy clue what this guy is saying.
I don't get why they do this, not only on flights, but also in the airport. You have somebody who's going, you know, they're trying to tell you the issue with your flight because our flight was delayed. They're trying to tell you what's going on.
They don't speak English. I mean, they do, but it's like it's so accented that I don't have an I understood about every third word of this guy.
Here's the thing. If it's a Spanish accent, I got that covered. You know, it's cool. It's when you get on the airplane and you hear this, you don't know what is being said. Why is this not working? There we go. I'm going to back this up because I want you to really listen hard.
Yeah, listen hard and then also listen. You can hear me trying not to laugh.
Dude, and we're both giggling the whole time.
All right, good.
Pickpocket, which actually fairly regulated government for the exit of sitting at function. They may have to be parking the event every emergency.
Anything?
What? Did you get any of that? I didn't get any of that.
I heard you snort, you know. Watch, hold on.
Regulated government for the exit of sitting at function. They may have to be performing the event of emergency. Persons of sitting at exit must be willing and able to visit locate the exit here and understand instructions.
I really think, honestly, that this guy knew like a fifth of the words. I'm drooling on myself because I'm trying not to laugh. But it's like he knew a fifth of the words, and he just would do the cadence. And if you don't,
exit. Open the exit,
either
to the exit without injuring themselves
or
blocking the exit.
Dude, I challenge you, because I know this is right up your alley. I want you to make a video of this where you say whatever you think. And like you sit down, you get your boys together, and you go, what does it sound like he's saying right here?
Oh, and I'll just type it out. What
yeah,
he's saying.
Yeah, and...
Sit and raise a 15-man or sit and exit job. If you're unable or do not wish to have some business facilities, please let me know at this time.
I got that. Please let me know at this time.
Everybody's laughing at him.
We are pleased to announce that non-transferring electronic devices, such as smartphone, tablets, and readers, may be used throughout the flight. Once the boarding doors close, shut.
Dude, I swear he's just adding in words to the computer monitor.
Keep going, just keep going. I'm gonna see if I can hit.
Non-transferring electronic devices must be in placed airplane mode or turn off.
Force blend motor turn off. He said force blend motor turn off.
Dude, he's a nerd. Force blend Mordor turn off.
Back it up. Let's hear that part again.
Force blend Mordor.
Horse blend Mordor turn off.
Lord of the Rings.
All right.
Must be influenced. Airplane motor turn off.
Mordor turn off.
Okay.
Small portable electronic devices that in here should be healthy or signing a person in approved stress location. Larger devices of the laptop, computers, and DVD
prophylactic.
Prophylactics.
He said prophylactic.
I actually heard prophylactics while we were sitting on the airplane. I was giggling.
No need to sit in part of you or an overhead bin.
What? Now, listen. Something happens, right? You're on the plane. It goes down. It's like it's in the Hudson River. It's floating. And everyone's freaking out. They need direction. And here comes this guy to say this.
For your movement, for your safety, these items may not be shown in the seat pockets. Once airborne, the devices may be used below 10,000 feet as long as the devices can be
to me.
Without unfastening the seatbelt. Please begin placing yourself on your airplane mode and destroying larger aircraft.
We're all drowning
We're
in
all
the Hudson.
Dead. We're already dead.
It's over.
We're
Remember
done.
That episode of Lost? Yeah, that was us.
Great devices in preparation for the aircraft door closer. This note of regulations prohibit the use of...
This note of flagrations? Dang it.
He said Captain Cozart,
mobile
I think.
Mobile phones during flight. Before the aircraft can move, everyone must be seated with your seatbelt fastened, seat back and traitor with the upright unlock position.
Now, here's the other thing. I also blame the airline for letting that go.
I don't blame him at all. It is the airline. But it's the same person who's at the gate, and you can never understand them.
I mean,
I get very excited whenever I hear somebody speak clearly. Look, if I'm on the radio and I'm talking, it doesn't matter. And this is not a nationality thing. It's talking. If I'm a radio guy and I talk like this, I'm out of a job. I'm out of a job.
Listen, if you don't get a if you have it's not your first language, and English is not obviously his first language. If it's not your first language, do not put someone in a position who has to communicate in an emergency on an aircraft to save other people who need that information. And Listen, I've got friends of mine who are so neck, they shouldn't be doing it either.
Yeah. Oh, we hear pilots all the time, and they're all like,
"Hey, man, we're over here, base leg 2-0, 2-0,
again,
full stop."
You can be too country to fly an airplane.
I mean,
you may be able to fly it, but if you got to talk to people, you don't need to be flying it.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was that.
Donovan, I've got to call Donovan.
So Bubba's brother. Every year, Donovan calls on one day.
Yep.
And he calls the hotline, and he says, "Hey, I'm just calling to let you know you missed my birthday again, and we're on the plane. Listen to Mumble Mouth." Bubba goes, "I didn't call Donovan for his birthday."
You know, it's funny because my thing came up on my phone and said it was Donovan's birthday, and then like I saw it on Facebook, it's Donovan's birthday, and I'm like, okay, cool, I got this. I took a screenshot. That way, when I was going through photos, I would see it. Hey, dude. Donovan? Donovan?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it's me and Big D, and we're taping the podcast. And I wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I always like harass you so much for not calling and telling me happy birthday. I thought I would give you a little reprieve this year, but you made up for it. Appreciate it.
What is it, today? It's your birthday?
It is, yeah.
It was yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you send a card, or does he send you those lame-o e-cards?
No, actually, I got like 100-something people who wished me happy birthday on Facebook. And
except your brother.
Yep.
Dude, I'm sorry. I mean, we were doing the St. Jude thing, and I was like, you know, I took a screenshot of Facebook where it said it's Donovan's birthday, and I did that so I could remember. Like when I got to my hotel and whatnot, I'm going, oh yeah, I'll go through my photos and I'm deleting stuff. I'll be able to. Nope, I just brain farted.
You know what? If my birthday got forgotten because of St. Jude's Hospital, I'm good with that.
Well, listen, no, first off,
stop it, Big D, stop it. He just gave me an out. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll let you go on that one.
Did it for the kids. So, I wasn't even using it for that excuse, but it's awesome.
Facebook is great for those birthdays, man. It makes it
less special, though, because it used to be like if somebody wished you a happy birthday, you're like, oh, man, they remembered my birthday.
It's always the same. It's always the same drill, man. Your birthday's coming up. And there's usually like four or five who will jump the gun because you get those email things that says, hey, the following people are having birthdays this week. So you get four or five people who want to be, you know, brown nosers, and they go, hey, man, so I'll tell you happy birthday, you know, ahead of time. Happy pre-birthday. Okay, well, thank you. And then your birthday happens, and on that day there's like everyone comes on and says happy birthday. And then after it's over with, the next day, everyone goes back and posts, hey, thanks to everyone for the outpouring of support on my birthday. It meant the world to me. I'm blessed. Hashtag living a dream. And then we go about it, and people act like they care. They don't care. They had a Facebook reminder. If you did care, you would have sent it to me 5 years ago when we didn't have Facebook.
Yeah.
You sent me a card in the mail with a check.
I stopped actually doing the Facebook birthday wishes. I was doing them for a while because I'm like, oh, this is cool. You know, it's great to be able to. It's nice to reconnect with all these people. And once a year, or you know, you hit them up with a hey, you know, thinking of it. The problem is, like Big D said, you have 100 people, Donovan, like you did. You had 100 people there. Can you tell me each one? Of course not. How many called you? How many picked up the phone and called you?
Well, let's see. I would say three.
Okay.
My two sisters and my mother.
There you go. You remember the ones who call you. So I just now on birthdays, I just call people. And that was the thing. When I saw it on Facebook, I could have just said, hey, happy birthday, big brother. But no, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make sure that I call him.
Sounded like a really lame attempt at a Hulk Hogan thing. Hey, happy birthday, brother.
Well, I can't raise my voice because I sound like I'm going through puberty right now. If I go, happy birthday, big brother. Actually, that was pretty good. My voice must be coming back.
Wait, is he your big brother?
My big brother. Shut up.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he's your big brother.
Okay, Donovan, I don't know if you know this, but anything we ever say wrong, if we mispronounce a word, we just drill each other on it. It's all the time. And, I mean, we don't just let it drop. It's literally, I'll be sitting here, and I'll say, like, Brig Brother. And then 5 seconds later, or, you know, 5 minutes later, I'll get this picture of you. And it'll say, look, it's your Brig Brother. He'll make a meme out of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is this? And he's, you said Brig Brother. Go check the tape. I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Check the tape.
You're Brig Time.
You know, that's the bad thing about taping everything you say.
That's how you know you break time. Every time. You notice I threw the bat before the ball came. That's how you know you break time.
He doesn't get it, but no, it's great.
I don't care. I love doing inside jokes to people who aren't in on it.
Congratulations, guys, on your award nomination again.
Yeah.
ACM, thank you, man.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, welcome.
It's pretty rare, actually, being nominated for a CMA and an ACM the same year. Yeah. I don't.
I'm proud of you guys.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Did you call me and wish me a congratulations?
Did I call? Well, you were talking about it on the air. And
right, but did you call?
Did I call? No.
Yeah. Okay, then you can't.
I liked it on Facebook, though.
Oh, he did. Dang it. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, a true Brig Brother would have done it over the phone.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
What'd you get for your birthday, man?
What did I get for my birthday? I had to go out to dinner with my wife.
And I was going
to
say, you bought your wife a car for his birthday.
Yeah.
When you get older, man, birthdays suck because it's like your gift is like, hey, we're going to go out for dinner. I'm like, okay, well. Like we did like two nights ago.
I mean, she did give me a birthday present. She got me a nice bottle of scotch.
Oh, how old?
A 10-year-old bottle.
Remember that? What was that stuff that? What was that stuff that we got from Kyle at Christmas like 2 years ago?
Oh, that was Belvini. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Dude, it was good. It was like 25 years old, and it was awesome.
Freaking Weather Channel. I'm about to boycott it.
What now?
I'm a huge Weather Channel fan. But I'm absolutely fed up with these Why Airplanes Crash series that they've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
They run them all the time. And as pilots, you and I know the dangers that are when you go and fly an airplane. I got it.
We can tell you why they crash. Weather. Okay, next.
That's it. Weather. Mainly it's weather or guys who shouldn't be doing, but it's usually weather. And then this doesn't help anything. The GA community, general aviation community, we've been fighting that whole stigma of, oh, little airplanes, those are dangerous. Don't those always crash? And then we're fighting that, trying to get out of that. And granted, we have problems. We need better training. It's not the airlines. We don't usually do it for a living. We're not as proficient as an airline pilot. However, it's still safer than driving, and which I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it is. But then we see these TV shows. They do whole hour long things on these airplane crashes and dissecting it and what happened, and it's just I don't know. It just puts us back. 10 years, you know.
Why don't you start a show called Why Cars Crash?
Okay, wait, real quick. Statistically speaking,
they have that show. It's called Cops.
Well, I was just going to let you know, driving in absolute numbers, driving is more dangerous with more than 5 million accidents compared to 20 accidents a year.
Yeah, but there's a lot more cars than there are airplanes.
I get that. But more direct comparison is per 100 million miles. Driving has 1.2, I don't even know. But yeah, so it's no big deal. We're good.
What's a big deal?
Statistically speaking, flying is safer than driving. However, it may feel more dangerous because risk perception is based on more than facts. It's all the, you know, if an airplane lands
like the Weather Channel running hour long episodes on this.
Yeah,
stuff.
They're not gonna run a show called Why Cars Crash.
Yeah,
And every time an airplane, you know, if somebody doesn't have a wheel deploy right, they cut immediately to it and they watch it land.
Here comes CNN. Here comes Fox. We're standing by live. Let's go now.
Holy crap, his blinker isn't working.
William Longinus is standing by, our aviation expert. William, what do you make of this? The wheel isn't completely down. Aviation experts will tell you that this is not the best way to land.
Yeah.
Did you know? That some of the old bombers back in World War II were actually designed, the wheels were designed so that if they didn't come down, it would still land on the wheels. They stuck them down a little bit, so they like actually hung down below the belly a little.
I didn't know that. Which bombers?
He didn't know. What bombers?
He saw it on Why Airplanes Crash.
I do know that those the B-52s have a really
horrible song called Love Shack.
Yep, and also the airplane has those wheels are on casters so that they can land sideways.
Sideways.
You know,
although
casters.
Sean tried to do that with me in the plane one time.
Oh yeah, remember I told you the wind shear thing? Yeah, that was the weirdest thing, bro.
What happened?
That time I was landing in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Donovan was with me, and we're coming in. We crossed the numbers, which is airplane speak for we're about to land. We crossed the numbers, and the tail of the plane whipped. I mean, like, hard. It whipped. I mean, this gust of wind out of nowhere just kind of almost, it was about a good 45-degree angle before I was able to correct.
I powered back up, and up we went.
Yeah, I just, you know, went back around for a go-around. But, yeah, I mean, it was the weirdest strain. I've never experienced it before or after, and it was just a gust out of nowhere. There were no gusts on the weather reports or anything.
Wow.
It was really weird. It was like somebody just stomped on my my rudders or something and just swung it. It was weird. Yeah, it scared the crap out of me, man.
But you know what? You did the right thing. You powered it up. You got control. You got positive climb, and you went around.
And you kept us from an episode of Why Planes
Crash. That's right. All right. Well, listen, man, happy birthday, bro, and we'll talk to you soon. Are you done with your big brother? I didn't mean
my big brother. Yeah, I think I'm about done with him. Hey, we're still good. Everything's cool for your thing, right? Your retirement ceremony from the military.
It is. Now, Dean, did he tell you about that?
Yeah, he wants you to go now too. I forgot to tell you.
What's the date?
June 6th.
D-Day. You're retiring on D-Day? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
and he wants me to invite Marcus Luttrell, which, you know, I'll throw it out there, dude. He may say, yeah.
Marcus, if you're listening, June 6th.
Yeah, Marcus is real big at the podcast. He's like, oh, hold on, the Big D and Bubba podcast is up. Let me stop what I'm doing.
Hey, baby, hold on. I got to get the download. Can I get it on a flip phone? June 6th. Where's it at? In Charleston?
It's going to be in Charleston at the Coast Guard base.
Okay. You're already retiring? You're not that old.
Got 27 years of service in.
Oh. What do they give you? Like a watch or something?
A watch? Well, I should get like a plaque and supposed to get a letter. Just get a letter signed by the president and
is it like a real? Does he sign it? Is he like?
Were you
like a stamp?
Were you holding out until you had another president? Is that why you stayed in so long?
You're like, surely he won't get through four more. Ah, dang it! Well, I'm just going to retire. I can't wait any longer.
Chief, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
We don't mean to put you in a bad place. All right. Well, listen. I've got it down on my calendar, and I don't know. Maybe we'll, you know, maybe I'll fire up the bird and fly in. I don't know.
That'd be great, man.
That'd be fun. That'd be cool. I appreciate you inviting me. That's a big moment.
I'm happy.
And maybe I'll have Marcus in the plane with me.
That would be even just as awesome.
That's like this sounds like one of those things like a guy who asked Taylor Swift to the prom. You should make a video. You make a video
asking him to go to
retirement ceremony, and we'll promote it on the show. We'll put it on. We'll see if we can make it go viral. And then, you know, at least it puts some pressure on
him. Incentivize some things, too. Like, say, you know, if you come with us, if you show up to my retirement, we'll take you out on a gunboat and you can shoot the 50 cal. See, that would be cool.
No. You really got to play hardcore, dude.
No, I would do it for that.
You guys say, listen, Marcus, come to my retirement ceremony, and if you do, we're gonna build this house for these children who are homeless. And then if he doesn't go, he's guilted. You got to guilt people, man.
Okay.
That's why you get things done around this country. You got to guilt people into doing it.
And they'll go to your way.
But if he does show up, I'm going to build a house for homeless kids.
Well, then everybody wins. See, that's right. See, everybody wins.
All right, Donovan. Talk to you later, Brick Brother.
All right.
Love you, man.
Talk to you later. Is it Smurl Brother?
Smurl Brother.
Riddle? My Riddle Brother.
I like Riddle Brother.
All right.
Riddle Brother.
Later, man.
Riddle Brother.
Love you, dude.
All right, later.
Go. Bye.
Love you, too, man.
We've got to wrap this podcast up. We do want to say that we are going to give you a little bonus here. Dun, 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 dun. A little bonus of Brett James. We did another songwriter spotlight this week.
I got a little bonus.
And, yeah, you did with your vasectomy. And everybody saw it. And, you know, they were taking pictures.
Oh, were they? Well, good.
Yeah, they do that.
Great.
Anyway, Brett James, he's an amazing songwriter. He's going to tell you about some of the stories behind some big tunes, some Carrie songs.
Interview.
He really is really cool. So if you're still with us now, if you've lasted through all that crap, then, you know, good, because you're about to find something you actually like.
Sorry for wasting your bandwidth.
Yeah. Did you know? Got to get out the sponsor one more time. Did you know 5-hour energy shots now come in 10 delicious flavors? New improved taste. You got 10 great flavors. I mean, literally, whatever mood you're in, boom, you got it with 5-Hour Energy. Have you tried 5-Hour Energy lately? And now, the Songwriter Spotlight.
Hey, today in our Songwriter Spotlight, we love this music. We love country. And we're supporters of the songwriter. The songwriter is part of what makes a song. Because you can have a great song, but if it's sung by me, it's not a great song anymore.
You'll never have a hit.
That's right.
However, if you have a mediocre song from somebody great, you know, it works out. But it's the magic when you get a good songwriter and a good singer together.
Yeah, it comes together.
It's awesome.
I want to introduce you to Brett James. Brett has got a lot of songs that he's done, like a lot.
I've
been doing it a while.
You know there's a whole Wikipedia page called Songs Written by Brett James?
I did not know that.
Not
a joke.
I'm saying hundreds. It looks like
I've been blessed.
200 or 300 songs.
Well, I think the last count was like 450 have been recorded. Isn't that crazy? I don't know what I'm doing.
You don't have a Z song or
work on
an
Z's.
X or U or V.
Well, that's why we're here this morning. We got to write a song about zebras and Xanax.
Zebras and Xanax. Zebras
and Xanax. We take care of Xanax in one time.
That becomes a Sturgill Simpson song.
Yeah, that is a Sturgill Simpson song.
I was on the Xanax riding a zebra.
That song would have been written in 1969.
Jefferson Airplane with their new hit, Zebras and Xanax.
There you go. Beatles would have made it a hit.
Oh, yeah. So, some of the big number ones, you're talking about like Jesus Take the Wheel, When the Sun Goes Down, Blessed, The Truth from Jason. Man, it's just like when you hear your song on the radio and it's gone through that whole birthing process. What is that like?
Man, it's always magic. It's always magic. The first time you hear a song on the radio, you're just like, holy, that made it. You know, it's there. Whether or not it ends up being a hit or not, you know, it found its way into the airwaves. And it's such a long process from writing a song or sitting down in your office or your bedroom or wherever.
What do you think the average length is?
Who knows? You know, it's at least a year. From the time you almost always it's
for
at
almost
least
every
a,
song almost it's a year.
It has to get it has to be heard by the producer, the artist, then it has at some point down the road it has to be recorded, and then at some point down the road it has to be make the record, and then at some point down the road they gotta pick it as the single.
Well,
and
then
so,
how do they do like fast songs like that kind of turn around, like the Maddie and Tay song, Girl in a Country Song, was reacting to songs that we were playing on the radio.
Right.
Well, but they wrote that song and they recorded it and then
so
bam,
that process was quicker because it didn't come from the outside,
okay,
probably. And sometimes it does happen faster than that. But, you know, usually it's a pretty good
So you're saying that the Xanax Zebra song is going to be a year at least?
I bet that one we could probably push through.
Yeah, I think it's got legs, man.
I think we could shove that one through.
Yeah, I think so.
If Sturge was listening.
You've written songs for a lot of artists, including Kenny Chesney. You had a number one with When the Sun Goes Down and Out Last Night.
Mm-hmm.
What's a cool Kenny Chesney story?
Well, you mentioned Out Last Night. That was a fun trip. Kenny's one of my dearest friends in the world and one of my favorite people. But, you know, I have a wife and four children, and it was Christmas Eve, and he called me. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon on Christmas Eve. And he says, "Hey, man, what are you doing day after tomorrow?" Now, you know, I have a wife and four children.
Yeah, it's Christmas, dude.
And
you're going to be.
So, of course, I said, "Well, nothing." Nothing at all. What you got in mind, brother? And the good news is, you know, he was like, "Well, why don't we go to the islands and write some songs?"
Oh, okay.
And it takes an understanding wife and four children to say that, you know, the day after Christmas, I'm going to get on a jet and fly with Kenny Chesney to the islands. But the wife and four children do know what puts pork chops on the plate, too.
Right.
So, 48 hours later, I found myself in the island with Kenny, and we've done this before. And, you know, when it's Christmas time and it's cold in Nashville, and you fly down to the islands and you get off the plane and you smell the salt air, and he and I tend to go just a little bit crazy. You know, once again, because of the aforementioned wife and four children, he goes more crazy than I do. But this particular night, we had a good time, and he got in a lot later than I did, for the record, too. But
okay.
Next morning, I'm sitting on his back deck, and I'm playing the guitar that I'm holding right now, and I'm just sitting there and kind of looking. He's got one of the prettiest views I've ever seen in my life. And I sat there for 2 or 3 hours, and finally the kind of sliding glass door, you know, opens, and he kind of pokes his head out, and he looks at me and goes, "Brett, we went out last night." And I was like, "Yeah, we did, man. Maybe that's a song we ought to write today." So we started writing a little song. You want to play it for a little bit for you?
Yeah.
Started writing a sing, and I just started strumming this, and I went, ba, 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 da, da, da. And Kenny immediately went, ba, 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 da, 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 ba, 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 da. We started laughing, and we wrote this little thing. We went out last night, like we swore that we wouldn't do. We drank too much beer last night, a lot more than we wanted to. There were girls from Argentina and Arkansas, Maine, Alabama, and Panama, all mixed together and having a ball. Oh, we went out last night, and one thing started leading to another. Out last night, hitting on everybody and their mother. There were two karaoke girls drunk on a dare, singing "I Got You, Babe" by Sonny and Cher. Man, life was good everywhere. We went out last night. Ba, 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 da, da, da. Well, you know I'm a music man, and I grew up in East Tennessee, but last night I was everything. When I got a few drinks in me, I was a doctor, a lawyer, and a senator's son. Brad Pitt's brother in a band on the run. Anything I thought might get the job done. Oh, we went out last night, and one thing started leading to another. Out last night, hitting on everybody and their mother. There were people doing body shots up on the bar. Jimmy's in a fist fight out by the car. Everybody was some kind of star when we went out last night. Now the fact that I'm still breathing means that I must have survived, and that I lived to go out with my friends again tonight. Oh, we went out last night, and one thing started leading to another. Out last night, everybody started loving on each other. They were dancing on tables, howling at the moon, pairing off together, and pretty soon there was not a soul in sight when we went out last night. Ba, ba, Something like that.
Didn't just go out last night. You went out last night.
We went out last night.
Oh, that's great.
You actually sound a lot like Kenny. Your voice is similar.
You know, I guess so. I have about 12 different voices I use. That's the beauty of being a songwriter. That's why I sucked as an artist, because I never could figure out which one to use.
Can you do one like Bullwinkle or something like that? Something?
Didn't you write another song in the same day?
You know, that was a good day. We had a little lunch and drank a little rum, and we wrote a song called Reality that afternoon, and it was a number one song as well.
So you had two number one songs you wrote in one day.
That was a great
Sitting on the same deck?
Sitting on the same deck. That was a great day.
How many number ones have you had? Top tens have you had?
I don't know. I just had my 21st number one, so that was very exciting.
So if you've had 21 number ones, you could probably easily double that for top tens?
Something like that.
Dude.
Yeah,
it's
been a fun run. I love my job. It's never dull.
Hey, how did Jesus Take the Wheel come about?
Man, I wrote that song with Hillary Lindsay and Gordy Sampson and two of my dearest friends in the world. We were, it was just a typical writing day. A lot of people think songwriters, we ride around and smoke weed and ride in the car or whatever and think of, hope for inspiration. But songwriting at some point, if you do it, for a living, it becomes sort of like a job. Like, you wake up.
You have appointments.
You sort of have a place you go. I usually go to my barn studio and hang out there. Somebody comes to my place, and you kind of gather and you have an appointment to write a song. And this was just one of those days. I got together with Hillary and Gordy. And we were doing what songwriters do. We were drinking coffee and shooting the bull and trying to figure out, just talking about life, first of all. That's what you usually do for the first hour and a half. And then some point you get down to, what do we want to write?
While you're sitting there and you're talking about life, do you guys have like notepads out? And if a word or a sentence hits you, you just write it down and you just let the conversation keep going and then you go back to it?
If somebody says something in that coffee drinking time that sounds like it should be a song.
You just jump right in.
You jump on it, yeah. Or, a lot of times you sing something into your phone or you write that down. Or, we do that if something kind of hits.
Yeah.
But, songwriters, what I do is I keep a running list of ideas and titles and words.
You have a little book somewhere, like at the house, with just a ton of...
On my computer, I have a list of titles.
Like the Zebra song that we worked on.
Like the Zebra and Xanax. That will be coming your way, coming to a radio station near you.
About a year.
Anyway, this particular day, Gordy was kind of looking at his list of ideas, and he had this title written down, and it was called When Jesus Takes the Wheel. All of a sudden, I think it was Hillary, she goes, let's go back to that When Jesus Takes the Wheel idea. What would we do with that? How would we... And so we kind of sunk in and wrote about a little girl driving to Cincinnati. The beauty and the greatest thing about being a songwriter is, I love writing all kinds of songs. But when you actually are, when sort of God shows up some days and you get to write something, you're blessed enough to write something that actually means something to people.
Yep.
And so you get to hear stories years later about, what that song meant to me at that particular time in my life. That's when my job is a real blessing.
When you guys were writing it, did it just seem to write itself?
It did. Yeah, that one was it just kind of fell out. Once we started on that storyline, I don't think it took us more than an hour and a half probably to write.
Wow. Could we hear a little bit of it?
Absolutely. She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with her baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go when she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going way too fast. Before she knew what she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass, she saw both their lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands, 'cause I can't do this on my own. I'm letting go, so give me one more chance and save me from this road I'm on. Jesus, take the wheel. Something like that.
You also wrote another little small song that Carrie did called Something in the Water.
Yes.
Not a real big song, just kind of a little ditty.
Another one with some overtones.
Yeah.
That one came straight out of Carrie's heart.
Can
that
I
was
just
a
ask
fun
you
day.
A crazy question, though?
Sure.
It's 2006. Do you know who she is when they tell you Carrie Underwood's going to cut the song? Did you watch American Idol?
Yes, we had. It was a big deal when we found out she was going to record it, and especially when we found out.
Because that was her first song, and it was a monster hit.
But when we wrote it, you know, she was, Idol had not happened yet. And so it is, like you guys said at the start of the thing, you know, a great song is one thing, and a great artist is one thing. And when the magic happens, it kind of, when the right artist meets the right song, that's sort of when the magic really happens.
Do you have a real kind of a sad spot in your heart for a song that you feel is a huge hit, but it didn't get picked up, or the wrong artist, whatever.
Is there one in particular that you wish had been a single that wasn't a single?
You know, one pops into my mind, and it's still one of my favorite songs. And the record, my gosh, the recording of it was just unbelievable. But I think it was on Al Dean's first or second record, a song called On My Highway, that I love that song. And for Jason, it would have been, you know, Jason did an amazing job with it. So it's not a knock on, you know, whoever makes those decisions, it just didn't get picked.
Just a every great song.
Every song you want. I mean, all artists want all their songs to be great on the record, and only three or four of them get to be singles every time. So that one was one I would have loved to hear on the radio, but never got to hear.
Man, it's so fascinating. You're really good at this whole in and out. You can tell you've done this before. The whole, and that little song you guys want to hear, it kind of goes a little like this. Sometimes you have to, like, really drag out of people. That's really great. Brett James, thank you for joining us, man. You're super talented.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Really,
he knows that, by the way.
No, not at all. But thank you guys. Hey, thank you guys really for the Songwriter Spotlight. It means a lot to the whole community of us that, you know, because we are the behind-the-scenes guys. And for you guys to actually, you know, shine a spotlight on us and kind of let the world know we're out there, it means a lot to our whole community. I really do appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's, again, we're just kind of the intermediaries. We're like the guys who let everybody else kind of jump in. And I think it's cool that our 17 listeners really support this as well. We get so many great comments, you know, oh, it's so cool to hear the songwriter's interpretation of their song, because it's usually a little different, like the Carrie.
Absolutely.
That sounded different being sung by you.
I certainly can't sing it like Carrie.
Brett James, you can find him, links online, also at bigdandbubba.com.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.